because we live in this world and things like that happen. It's like those bad things are going to come up and we're going to have good times. And hopefully the scripture, what I want to share a little bit today about, will be out of Psalms 27. But David is writing in that, and he's sharing some good times and he's sharing some bad times and how God was there. But the thing that we understand is that God is always there. Do you not understand, or do you believe, or by whatever, that even in your bad times, God is there? Because I'm sure glad, because I tell you what, if it wasn't for him being with me, going through those valleys of downtime, though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, I am with thee. You know, that's him. He's with us. And so I wonder sometimes really that if he's not with us more when we're in the downtimes than he is when we're in the uptimes. Because when the uptimes are there, everything's going well and everything's going good. And things are happening and we're being blessed and we're blessing others and we're being encouraged and we're encouraging others. And we're saying life is good. Things are great. Hallelujah. Praise God. God doesn't need to be around those times. But he probably is. I'm not saying he's not, but I would much rather have my God with me when I'm going through those times, when I'm going through situations that I can't handle it. I don't have the strength. I don't have the patience. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the answers. Whatever it might be, I just don't have it, Lord, but I know you do. I jumped ahead of myself. I want to say and remind us, like last week, we had the citywide prayer out here. And it was a wonderful time. It turned out well. We had, I had a number that I kind of looked at as I was quickly counting and just, you know, fast. You're not sitting there going, 1, 2, 3. You're just kind of perusing. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, oh, 10, 5, 2. But I think somebody did a count for me. It's like 68. So that was pretty good. That probably runs about what it's been running or a little bit lower, but it's summertime. And like I said earlier, we had probably 5 pastors that normally would have been here. They were out on vacation and gone out of town. So it was just the other 4 of us that were here. So it still worked out well. But I thank you for those of the body that were here that supported it and encourage you to attend the next one. It's going to be at Trinity Free Lutheran Church. Remember, second Sunday of the month, 5 p.m. Next month and the month after that, I think we'll be at the Salvation Army, and I'm not sure November and December what's going to take place there. But anyway, the citywide prayer. It's a wonderful time and had a good turnout. I got a kick out of it. I could hear ladies when they're walking down through here and they're looking at the carpet, they go, or maybe they're exiting, walking up, they go, this carpet reminds me, it's like something you'd see in a motel. Well, come on in. We got a lot of people that like to sleep here. Come on in. Every Sunday at 10:30, we have nap time. Come on out, you know, quiet time. So, but how true she was right on that, because Pastor Hoblett, I don't know how long it took for him to find the right carpet for this place. Oh, it was funny. After a while, they would go out on conferences and go to this or that and stay at motels. And I could imagine he'd go into a motel and he liked the carpet. He'd go to the desk. Could you tell me what about this carpet? And I'm sure he was taking pictures of it with whatever he could, you know, and trying to come back and find the right carpet. He, bless his heart, he had something envisioned and he was looking for it. And anybody that was on the advisors at that time probably remembered, I'm sure, you know, trying to figure out the carpet scheme and what he wanted. But I know talking to him all week after week, he'd come back and, oh, honey, you know, talking to Deanna, remember that carpet at so-and-so place? That was beautiful. But anyway, so when she nailed it, she goes, I thought, my gosh, it is right on. This probably was in a motel or a hotel somewhere. Comfort Suites, Holiday Inn Express, I don't know. But we had fun, and it was good to have the community come out. Many people go, there's a church out here? One gentleman saying, I was telling my wife that, he goes, I remember there was an old building out there. It used to be an old school out there. And he says, we came down this road and came past the past the fields, and by golly, it's the church. That's where we're going, is that old school. And so, if nothing else, it probably enlightened some people that, yeah, out here amongst the corn stalks, You know, the wheat fields, the deer, the turkeys, the cranes, the whatever. God has his kingdom. May not be a gigantic kingdom by number count, but in my spirit and what I see and what God is doing, I think it's a large kingdom of God. Someone was sharing with me in regards to things that churches go through and how, you know, the spirit, you know, evil spirits, and there's just constant battles going on. And I said, well, that's why when I sit out here on this bench, or if I'm cutting the grass out back, or if I'm sitting in the back because I don't want to be disturbed out front, whoops, whoops, that I just say, Lord, this is your kingdom property. You guard it, protect it, keep any evilness of spirits away, keep anything of disarray, anybody that wants to come and create, you know, dissension, disruption. Lord, this is your place for your people, for your time. And you just, by the Holy Spirit, just come and fill this place. And he has done that very faithfully because he's a faithful God. But I guess that's why when we look at Scripture and we see things develop even in the present, we can go back into his word and find things there that we're speaking to instances there that, guess what, speaks to the instances of today. Isn't it wonderful how his word is written just for you? Just for your situation. Just for the trial that you're going through. Just for the hardship that you've got. Just for the joy that you've got. Just for the good things you've got. Just all these things that's happening in our body of different times, different things. This word is written for that, and we find that encouragement. Amen. Thank you, Father. So, Psalms 27. If I begin to look at that, the first thing that we find there, how encouraging it is that David is writing this. And as we get into the first couple of verses here, you find out he's talking about wicked ones that came against me. They wanted to eat my flesh, my enemies, and my foes. You know, there's some comments and thoughts that, you know, he's writing this with just dealing with the Philistines and Goliath and all that taking place. You know, so when you look at David, he went through a lot of different times, didn't he? Some good times and some bad times. Not, you know, it was this and this throughout his time. But God loved him and found no one as faithful as like David. And David is, he's the chosen one, he's the one, you know. So anyway, I find comfort in this, and he starts out in Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my what? Light and what? My salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Saying that, the next thing comes into like, duh. Because then he says, whom shall I be afraid of? Are you today like that, to where you can say, the Lord is my light and my salvation? Who should I be afraid of in this world? What can the enemy, the spiritual realm, and even sometimes the physical things that come against us, what can be causing me fear when the Lord is my light and my salvation? Oh, you've got this and that, and you may die earlier than living to 120 or whatever. Well, go home to be with the Lord, amen. For a Christian, for a person saved, for a person that has God and Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they know that there's a much better place, for those that we realize that we're just passing through this place, sojourners, that there is a much better place. Now, I'm not going to say it's difficult and sad when people are taken out of their prime and taken home to be with the Lord. We weep for them, and we're sorrowful, and we miss them, and we got a void in our hearts. So I'm not being cavalier about that. But in the scope of things of eternity, this time on this earth is very temporal. Because as we know, eternity goes on for when? Ever. So if we can kind of keep that process of an understanding that, okay, I'm only here temporarily, whether it's 17 years, 25 years, 80 years, 100 years, whatever the case might be, but there's much, much better beyond that we'd be called home to. And I'm not looking at getting out of here. I want to stay as long as the Lord will let me, because I just enjoy what I'm doing now. I enjoy this side of heaven. So I'm not, you know, let's get me out of here, Lord. Just beam me up, you know, because I'm tired of going through this. Beam me up, because I don't like what's going on in our world. I don't like what's happening in our nation, within our government structure and how we have turned out to be. But I'm going to want to stay here as long as I can on this side of heaven, because I hope the Lord has found in me, hey, there's somebody that's going to pray for this nation. There's somebody that's going to pray for the church. There's somebody that's going to pray for the families. There's somebody that's going to pray for this world and for my word to go around this world to share the gospel. Amen? Not that I'm going to go there personally, but we're going to send it out, whether it's with finances, to the Nates and to the Shelleys and to whoever else that we sow in the ministries or compassion ministries that go around the world for water and putting wells in third world countries. We can be such a large part of what God is doing around the world, even on Cemetery Road. Somebody came last Wednesday or last Sunday, and as they're leaving, they go, "So, this is on Cemetery Road. Where's the cemetery?" They couldn't even find the cemetery because it's so buried by the corn out there. It's like, okay, come here. Look right through here. You know, come out when it's harvested and you'll see it. It'll be okay. But, you know, so I said, it's right over there. And I said, believe it or not, they think that's our cemetery. The church is part of that. Had a young person, sad to say, in her note that she left me, ran into that fence and hit a tree. And in her note on the door said, "I'm sorry that I've ran in and damaged your fence at your cemetery." I go, then no skin off of my teeth. But the sadness of it was, she said, "I wanted to take my life. I wanted to commit suicide." And evidently at that time, when she decided to hit that thing, that the hand of God or something kept her from hitting that tree and just didn't. And probably when all this stuff started happening, she probably got a second thought, like, I don't really want to kill myself. And she steered out of it to the point of damaging the fence. But there's no way I could contact her. She left some kind of information, but I turned it over to this, to the Rock County Treasury thing here that's part of us, and said, you know, hey, somebody ran into your fence out there and here's the situation. You know, where's that cemetery at? It's right over there. No, it's not ours. But we are here just in case. Just in case we begin to see those graves open up, we're getting out of here. I mean, if those graves start opening up, the dead in Christ shall rise first. If they start rising and I'm not going anywhere, I'm climbing up on that roof to at least kind of say, hey, Lord, don't forget me. I'm right here, you know. Don't lose me amongst the corn stalks. You got to rise above the corn. Or your circumstances as well. But the Lord is my light and my salvation. I don't need to fear anything. This is David speaking. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Whom shall I fear? When that army arises around you next week, whatever it may be, rise above it. And know that your Lord is there to do battle for you. Know that you're not there by your own strength. Please don't battle your battles on your own strength, because you will be whipped. You will be downtrodden. You will be wiped out. You will be like, you know, you won't be able to get out of bed because you'll be despondent. You won't be able to go to work because you'll be depressed. You won't be able to go out and enjoy what God has created in His creation because you'll say, what's the use? Because I tried to do the battle myself and I can't muster up enough energy to do it. I was good for the shard haul. Maybe I was good for a burst. But the enemy out there seeking who he may kill or destroy, you know, he's out there continually. And you've won that one battle, and now you think, hey, I got that one battle down. I can handle that again. But no, like the devil told Jesus, you know, he left him, and it says in his word that he departed him for a more opportune time. So your old enemy, he will come back and attack you. He may allow you to win that first battle to get you boastful. Well, look what I did without God. I survived that attack of that enemy. Well, that was just a ploy to get you lulled into your own beliefs of, look who I am. Pride, boastfulness. No, we got to keep our right order with God. Amen. So David is sharing these things. So an army may be encamped against him. The army's going to surround him. Whatever it might be, the wicked is there. So like I say, this is possibly, as they look at this, you know, there's a lot of subject of where he's speaking and what he's speaking from, but all we know is David had quite a life. And he did some battles, and he dealt with some mean people, you know, the Philistines and Goliath and all these things, you know. Even at a young age, how he was mocked. But the age has no bearing on it when the Lord has placed something in you. When the Lord has placed what he wants in you, it doesn't matter if you're 12, 13, 18, 50, whatever the case might be, you are going to fulfill that, and he will see to it that he fulfills it in you if you remain with him. So even to today, remain in him. Say this, I'm going to remain in him. And you know what? You'll be glad you did. Maybe not today, but sometime in the future. And then he goes on to say, one thing that I've desired of the Lord. Anybody here got anything desiring of the Lord? You got an open time. Well, we do that with prayer, like citywide prayer last week. And anytime we come together in prayer, you've got an open time with God. You know, that's why prayer is so wonderful. That's why Wednesday nights at 6:15, we love to get together for that. By the way, prayer will be out here at church on Wednesdays at 6:15 from now until further notice. So everything's okay with Terry. Just got a lot on her plate, and she says, I just need to kind of back off a little bit. And so that's okay. We can bring prayer back out here and dust the cobwebs off of the Keurig and, you know, get some fresh coffee in there. You know, some of the stuff in there might be 3 years old, but, you know, prayer will change a lot of things. But maybe not stale coffee. I don't know. But anyway, Wednesday's prayer back out here at 6:15. But the one thing I desire is the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I underlined some of these things. Number one, I underlined my light, my salvation, my life. Then I went down, I will seek, dwell in the house of the Lord all of my days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord. So in our lives today, I encourage you to behold the beauty of the Lord. Amen. The beauty of the Lord is for today. The beauty of the Lord is for your situation that you're in. The beauty of the Lord is just to be enjoyed. Do you enjoy the Lord? I hope you do. Don't look at him as a taskmaster. Don't look at him as a God of, although we reverentially fear him and honor him and respect him and obey him and worship him and praise him. I look at God and the Lord. I just love him. And he loves me, and we have good conversations, and we laugh at each other, and I see God smile at some of the silly things that I do. Does God ever laugh at the things you do? Things that you say? Things that all of a sudden it comes back to you in your spirit, and you go, oh, that was a good one, God. Yeah, all right. Got one up on me there, God. You know, when you're out there and saying this or saying that or asking this or questioning that or whatever the case might be, that all of a sudden you stop talking, doop, quiet time comes, and all of a sudden you hear in your spirit something that the Lord just tells you, and you go, oh, that is right. Oh, that is so good. Oh, thank you, Lord. Forgive me now for what I just said back before that. Thank you for recalling or reminding me of who you are. That you never are going to leave me nor forsake me, that you're going to go before me, that you're going to bless me, that you're going to be there for me. I can look at David and all that he accomplished. And, you know, he had a lot put on him. And then we get really frustrated at the Lord when things don't happen within about the first 12 hours. Okay, the Lord's told me to do this. The Lord's going to promise me this. He showed me this and all this. And by Friday, it's going to come about. And it's already Thursday at noon. You know? It may not work that way. It may work to where you're going to have patience to wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, you might need your strength renewed. You might have to wait upon the Lord so that you can renew that strength. Because you're going to need that strength for the week ahead. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know what's happening in a week. But you know what? My God knows where I'm planting my feet next Thursday. My God knows where I'm going, what I'm doing. He knows who the connections are that he's going to have come across my path. He's got that all planned out. And now I'm here on Sunday, and I've got to be sensitive to him by the Holy Spirit. And I've got to just say, Lord, I just want to desire to serve you and to honor you and to be used by you. above anything else in this world. I don't want to be a success in man's eyes. I don't want to be a millionaire in man's eyes. Because all of these things pass away. In man's eyes, humanity, humans, we're fickled. We're okay for a while, but if we don't like something, we change. If you don't do what I want now, oh, I'm going to write you off of that and you'll never be my friend again. You know, as we go from this to that to that to this. But that's with man. And we used to serve man, myself, in the early years, because we thought that's what you had to do. But then we get into the times of Christ, my Lord, in coming to Him, I know now that as I serve Him and I want to be used by God, that He's true and faithful. He never lies. His word never changes. Hey, isn't that good? Say amen to that. His word never changes. Are you tired of how man's word changes? I was going to say, if not, just turn on the news and listen to the next election. Well, we're all going to do this. I'm going to be the one that does this. And we're going to get together and we're going to be a party that does this. And we're going to be this and we're going to be that. Not a whole lot is accomplished when you don't have unity. You can have the best person with the best plan, but I'm going to tell you what, if you don't have unity to get the whole thing through, it ain't going to go through. And I don't care what side of the aisle we're on or this or that. I'm just saying, even in a family, if you don't have unity in the family, that family is going to destruct. If you don't have unity in the church, that church is going to destruct. If you don't have unity in civilization, that civilization is going to destruct. And that's why the enemy likes to come in and create divisiveness and division and separation and anger and jealousy and resentment and pride. And I can do this. Because as he sows these things of seeds of the enemy into the things of whether it's the church, the nation, the family, the school, you name it, whatever it is that he can put his little two bits into, he's going to do that because he knows what happens with disunity. And so it requires us to be very keen of that and very understanding of that. Whether it's in our church, whether it's in our business, whether it's in our company, whatever it is. You already know this if you've worked in the public and worked anywhere, or if you're breathing, you've had disunity somewhere. In your life, somehow, some way, something's happened. And you've had to choose how to work through that. But the enemy will do that. But as we read through some of these promises, as we read through people of the Bible that went through adversities, this is where we can find encouragement. I'm trusting that you find encouragement in God's Word. Amen? Amen. But the one thing I desire of the Lord, that I will I seek, that I may dwell in His house all the days of my life. And then it goes on to talk about, and to inquire in His temple. You know, it sounds like David just wants to be wherever what? The Lord is. Wherever God's at, I want to be there. Whether it's in the tabernacle, the tent, whether it's going to be in the palace, wherever it is. And that's so good about God is He's everywhere anyway. Amen? So wherever He's at, I just want to be there. That's what I encourage us today. All the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, His tent. Anybody going through trouble will run to the Lord. Let Him take you into His tent. Let Him place His wings of covering around you. Hide into Him and allow Him to do your battle. It's not being weak. It's not being foolish. It's not being like you can't handle yourself. No, the wise man would go to God and say, I can't do this, Lord. I need You. So David is talking about the desire to seek and to dwell wherever he's at. Basically, wherever God's at. And I hope that's your thoughts for today. Wherever God is at, that's where I want to be. You know, on Sunday mornings at 10:30, if He's at Harvester's Church by His Spirit and He's just being in His presence of His people, I want to be there. But the good thing about it is He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So, again, a lot of great churches, a lot of great things happening in our community with other groups of ministries and churches and pastors. And so I just know that the Lord is smiling down on this area. when you be able to build relationships with multiple pastors out of multiple denominations and be able to have prayer time with them and coffee with them and laugh with them, joke with them, kind of rib them on some of their doctrinal things or things that they do that are like, oh yeah, whatever, and we've been there before already, that, oh, thank you. Could you those shows you used to see when those tough guys would take that. Well, I've never done that. And at this age, I don't want to do that. I will have portable choppers before you know it. Thank you, TJ. But, you know, as we get into these things, we just need to trust God like David did and like many did, Abraham. You know, you can go through those of faith and just the heroes of faith. But he just wants to be wherever God is at. In the secret place, it goes on in 5, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock. And then it goes on, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in the tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. We've shared this before, how important it is when you are going through a battle, when you're going through trials or situations that maybe aren't the best, how important it is after you've prayed the situation to God is I would encourage you to begin to praise Him. And to lift your head high above that time of problems. Lift your head high above those situations and shout unto the Lord. And praise Him and thank Him for, Lord, you've heard my prayer. Thank you. And I'm going to wait upon you. And I'm going to wait. And I've got to wait. And when it says in your word, when all you've done is wait, or when all you've done is to stand, what are you to do? Stand. Lord, your word says, if nothing else that I can do, I will stand upon your word because I believe and trust and have faith in your word. Why is that? Because I read some of the superheroes. I read some of the things of the Old Testament, some of the things of the New Testament. I count this Bible as true. I count this Bible as accurate. It's not fabrication. It's not made up. It's not man just thinking, oh, history, here it is, study it. This is life in the trenches. This is life during times of trouble. This is life during times of joy. But I'm going to tell you, if you've got joy and happy life, you're going to have sometimes difficulties as well. Life is not, you know, always cracked up to what it's to be, even receiving Christ as our Lord, because He tells us, for there will be trials and tribulations in your life, even accepting me. And count it all well when you're persecuted. Count it as all joy when you're persecuted on my behalf. Why is that? Because they count you close enough to me that they're going to persecute you. So that tells me that they're seeing me and you. And when they see me and you and they're persecuting you, that just tells me that today they still have vile resentment against Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He's going to still succeed and He's still going to provide and He's still going to win. Hallelujah. Wow, Lord. So that's why we can hand off the battle to Him. That's why when we stand, we stand. And when we stand again. And it's like, I'm going to be immovable upon that battle, old devil. You're going to throw darts at me. I'm going to put my shield up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to throw things at you. You know what I'm going to do to you, devil? Well, I read this. Get thee behind me. I'm not even going to waste my breath on you. Just get thee behind me, Satan, because I'm serving God the Father. And I'm not going to put anything in front of Him, around Him, honoring anything but Him. And I'm not going to give you the time of day. Sometimes we give the devil too much time of day. I love sharing more about God and His love and compassion and joy and all that He has for me anyway. If you want some of it, I'm sure He's got enough for you too. If not, ask me and I'll let Him share. Because you know pastors have a lot closer ability to God than you guys, right? You do. You know, you guys are a little bit lower than I am. I just want you to be aware of that. That's in the Gospel of Tim. And not Timothy 1 or 2. This is Now, no, 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 we're all together in this. You can ask and he'll send a legion of soldiers and angels to battle your battle just as easily as if I ask him to do it for you. If you're going through a health situation, the doctor says you've got this or that, you can turn that over to God. You don't need to call the church to say to pray for me. It's okay to do that. We'll pray in unity and cooperation and in agreement with you. I'm not discounting that in prayer, but I am telling you that you are a mighty force to be reckoned with when you're going through things. How wonderful it is, because I have never really noticed tragedies and things happen on a set scale of time. It's usually at the most inopportune time. It's sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, something disastrous happens. It's sometime when, I don't know, you're out of town and away from your congregation, you're in an accident, and now you're in the hospital. All these things happen, but God is everywhere. And if you've got that understanding that I don't have to call and make sure I get a pastor from my home church to pray for this need, you just begin to pray at that time, because you're going to touch his throne and his heart just as easily as me. Please don't put leadership and pastors, it's okay to respect and honor in the order of what God has to a point, but don't make them or us out to be little gods to the point of, you know, you need to go through us to get to him. If some people knew that in some organizations, there probably wouldn't be too many of those organizations around because they'd lose their clientele. Sometimes man likes people to be dependent upon them and upon their thoughts and ways of doing things. And God has made it very simple that all we need to do is rely on his word and what he has done to those there. Because in his word, he says that he is no respecter of persons. So you and me, if we're saved, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I've been bought with the blood. I've been redeemed. Righteousness is not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. All these things happen for a good thing, and we're able to go. Yes? Oh, okay. Thanks for coming. Okay. Come back again. Oh, I was just drying out. Well, we're about ready to wrap up, but we're winding down, but thank you for coming. Okay. Join us anytime, sir. So as we look at these things that David went through and what he wrote, it should give us encouragement to today. And as we find that encouragement, it helps us hold on to our tomorrows. And so we're able to do that. And that's what life is about, is holding on to your tomorrows. Because I believe you all have tomorrows. You all have a future. We have a purpose that God has put in us. And we pray that we all find that. Amen? And it may not be on the mission field. It may not be leadership in a church. But it's speaking to somebody. It's sharing the gospel. It's sharing his love. It's sharing something out there to someone that needs it. And if it's just a tender hello, a tender goodbye, glad to know you, can I pray with you? That's what it's all about. And again, that's sometimes why, you know, I enjoy those times at the apartments over at Riverview Heights, visiting with these ladies, and even, well, there's not a whole lot of guys that come to church, let me tell you. And they don't go to the community room either. Or if they're there, they head out when we start talking about God. God, I'm getting out of here. I don't know what it is, men and God, they just can't handle it or what. It's like, oh, okay. But we all have a thing to do for God. And I would encourage you just to be fulfilling that. Be fulfilling that. This September, I get blessed again. When these people call to come and hold a service, I just say, I'm honored. I'd be glad to. But we're going to be again at Cedar Crest. And it's, you know, it's a 30-minute service. It doesn't take a lot of your time. You know, from 6:30 to 7, they just want a quick word, a little bit of something, encouragement. Just half the people are maybe asleep because they're on medication. They're 80, they're 90, I don't know. But, you know, I don't care if they're in this or that and their heads are leaning over and just there. We'll share something of the word of the Lord. We'll share a song or two that they have, because it's all good. Amen. It's all good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be sharing his word. Father, as we come to this time, we thank you and praise you and worship you. We thank you for the word that you've given us today. May it richly grow in us. May it speak to each one independently in what it needs to help us do what you would want us to do. We thank you for your strength working in us, your abilities working in us. May we continually be found being obedient to you, honor you, glorifying you. Father, as we come to the time of giving, Lord, we thank you that you've honored us and you've been honoring your word with your provisions to us and how you help us. And so, Lord, as just a body of believers, we're here gathered together, we just want to return back a portion of you, of what you've given us, Lord, through whatever means, Lord, through jobs, through retirements, through, I don't know, Lord, but we're just going to return back to you just a portion. It's going to show you, Lord, that we trust you and that you are our provider. So I ask your blessings over each one. Bless that which is given. Multiply it to meet every need over and above. Even things that we can't even envision, Lord, that you have planned. That this would go into your kingdom to expand and to grow and to develop and to enrich your kingdom here upon this earth. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.